You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So hype right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. Ooh. This the truth like 34. Yeah. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my Siege jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the Siege, that's the best way. Melly.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast, and basketball is back. The Boston Celtics took to the Boston Garden and played a basketball game, albeit a preseason one that had ugly moments, but still a lot of fun, exciting. They played, they won 107-106. They beat the Charlotte Hornets. I'm John Corrales. I'm your host of this show. I cover this team for Mass Live. I was there watching this whole thing, and now I am going to talk to you about it. So much to get to here. Later on, I'll talk about the defense, which was bad, and other things that were good, like Carson Edwards, Grant Williams, Jason Tatum, and Gordon Hayward. Those will be my topics in the second segment, which is wild because Jason Tatum had a super efficient game, scored 20 points, took the types of shots that we want him to take. Just about everything was good about his game. And I'm going to talk about him after the break because the first two things we've got to talk about are Javonte Green, of all people, who came in, played 11 minutes, and made all seven shots that he took, including a three and like five or six dunks. I forget how many dunks he had, but he was part of the reason why the Celtics turned this thing around and actually won the game. Not that preseason wins and losses matter, but Javonte Green, his energy, his athleticism came in and made a difference. And Taco Fall, the story of this game. Like, his whole journey has been wild. And here we are in Boston, just like it was in Summer League. And very fitting because by the time he got in, it was very Summer League-esque. None of the regulars were playing. Both teams were at the ends of their benches. And Taco comes in. First of all, we want Taco Chance like all game long. Like just sitting around, and I'm sitting next to Tom Westerholm, and we're looking at each other like, man, these people are just nuts. They can't get enough Taco. People wanted Taco. We saw Brad kind of like smirking during one of the chants and coming down and talking to Taco about it. Like he was getting a kick out of it too. Everybody kind of was. And then Taco gets in the game. And he plays just 8 minutes. It felt like he played like 30 minutes in this game. The way that people were cheering for him and everything. So Tramell Waters comes in. Here I'm sitting there. We sit in section 20 at the Garden, if you know the Garden. It's in like the corner where the past the Celtics bench. Tramell Waters is checking in. And I hear like a roar. And I'm like, wow, people are really excited about Tramell Waters. Then I realized that Taco Fall had gotten up. And so people were reacting to that. So Taco comes in the game and immediately has a putback dunk. And then like 30 seconds later, blocks a shot like with his elbow. And actually was an important piece of a win. Now, again, the win doesn't matter because it wasn't like they were playing really like to win the game. But in the course of that game, and the guys who were in there, like the guys who were on the floor, were trying to win. Like you're out there, you're trying to do well, you're trying to win a game, and everybody knows what the situation is. It's a preseason game. So it's not like Brad or Borrego were sitting there trying to make moves like, oh, I'm going to insert Taco and get this energy boost to win this game. No, he wanted to try these different things and see how different guys play. But in comes Taco. He does those things. And then in comes Javonte Green, and he's dunking all over the place. Taco, actually in 8 minutes, did pretty well. 5 points, was a plus five, three rebounds, two blocks, two turnovers, and a couple of personal fouls. Shot 2 of 3. One of two of from the line. I'll say this about Taco. The guy is really working hard. He's really working his ass off. It's fun to see him out there doing things. He moves well for a guy his size. He does do a couple of things. He is intimidating. If you're in the lane and you're trying to attack and Taco's there, he's going to change your mind about a couple of things. That is for sure. But Taco is still kind of slow in relation to general NBA players. Like, if that wasn't the end of the Charlotte bench, I don't know if he'd have that success. He needs to catch the ball like right at the basket, because we saw it get ripped away from him. He cannot bring the ball down. If he gets pushed out, and now he's 300 plus pounds, but it's all a matter of leverage. Like, a guy who is strong and can get a low base can get underneath his center of gravity and push him out. You know, like, can I? Can you? Probably not. But NBA players who are 6'10 and can get low and are used to squatting and deadlifting a lot more than any of us ever will, those guys can. And all you've got to do is push him far enough away from the basket, and he's going to be in trouble. If he catches it and tries to bring it down, they'll immediately send a double, which they did a couple of times, to get the ball away from him. So he's got limitations, and he's working on fixing those things. But in the moment, it was a lot of fun to see. A lot of fun to have him out there. The putback dunk was awesome. The block was awesome. I heard the clip of Tommy saying, "Taco, Blocko, some crap like that. Blocko, Taco, something. Like, that's fine. That's fun. But I think Taco, from what I saw, he is still, you know, a ways away. Now, Brad Stevens afterwards. In fact, let's play. Here's Brad and here's Kemba reacting to Taco mania at the Garden. What was that experience like?
I mean, you know, I just talked to Taco about it, and you know, Taco's such a gracious guy. Like, it, you know, it puts him in a kind of a tough spot, right? When everybody's chanting his name, and he's, you know, he knows he doesn't want to put extra heat on me, and you know, I kind of gave the crowd one of these when we started. I mean, everybody wants Taco, and my kids are the same way, and everybody else. But I think that's cool. I think it's great. I just hope people continue to appreciate him for what he is as a person and how hard he's working to try to make the NBA, because he's a really good kid and he's really, really working hard. And I think he's going to be in the NBA for a long time.
Having a teammate like Taco who gets that type of just reaction before mm-hmm. he even sets foot on the floor, what is that like, having a teammate like that?
I love it.
People respond to like the way
they love it, man. It's fun. You know, as soon as Coach Stevens called him, the ovation he got was unreal, and we all went along with it as well on the bench. We were so happy for him. You know, the greatest thing about it is that, you know, he's such a good person, such a good kid, you know, very fun to be around. He works extremely hard. He deserves that ovation. You know, I'm super happy for him.
I appreciate the emphasis on who he is as a person and the hard work that he's doing. There is a fear. I don't want to take it too seriously. But there's a fear that this is a sideshow kind of thing going on. Like, you know, bearded lady, let's go look at the freak dunk without jumping. Like, I know people are excited, and seeing a guy who's 7.5 feet tall, although I guess with the official measurements without shoes, he measured 7'5", and he's pissed off about that. He's like, whoa, I don't think that's entirely accurate. But I think that there's like some kind of, hey, he's 7.5 feet tall, we got to go watch this freak do his thing. He takes it in stride. And I'm not saying everybody's doing that. I think people are genuinely excited, because it is unusual to see a guy that size. And it is unusual to see a guy dunk without jumping, really. although he did jump on the putback. But like the stuff that he can do, you just never see. And so people want to see it. I get it. But Brad emphasizing the person that he is and the hard work that he's putting in and saying that he's going to be in the league for a while. I don't know if Brad's just saying that or what, but it'd be nice for Taco to stick around. I don't know what his future is going to be, but I do hope that people understand the human behind the 7.5 foot tall, you know, thing to watch. I don't know if that's that. I just want to make sure that people are aware that there's a person with feelings there that is working his ass off to actually become an NBA player. And beyond that, do a lot of serious work in his community because he values that a lot. Like he really takes that seriously. And to see him succeed in Boston would be awesome because you know you'll see him out in the community. There's only one roster spot. And Javonte Green came in, again, stressing the caveat against the Charlotte Hornets end of bench. The Charlotte Hornets themselves are not good. People have already, like, they're not going to be a playoff team. In the East, that says a lot. Now, you take the guys at the end of the bench that aren't even going to make the bad team one of the worst in the NBA, and that kind of leaves you open for a lot of things. But Javonte Green came in, and man, that dude can fly. It's crazy to see him out there, man, flying all over the place. And Brad, after the game, jokes. He's like, yeah, if only he was a little bit more athletic. Because he's in there. He just catches the ball from a dead stop, jumps straight up, and his head is almost at the rim. I mean, that's some freakish athleticism, man. He attacked, and those lanes may not be there in a regular NBA game, but they were there against the Charlotte Hornets, and he took full advantage, man. He dunked all over them. He hit that three. Also had 4 rebounds, also had an assist. 15 points in just under 11 minutes is a big performance. I mean, he was the second leading scorer for the Celtics at 15 points. That says a lot. I don't know what's going to happen with Javonte Green. Like, having a freak athlete like that and a guy who's going to work his ass off like that, that has value. The Celtics only have one roster spot. What's going to happen there? I've seen some suggestions about Semi Ojeleye, who played 15 minutes in this game and was not good. I can't say it any other way. And I'm a fan of Semi. I want Semi to succeed. The Celtics kind of need Semi to succeed this year. And he really went after his offense in this game, and it didn't look good. It just didn't. And I don't know. Like, I'm perfectly willing to write this off as trying too hard and kind of losing himself in the moment. It's one preseason game, so you can't make any real determinations off of what happened in this game. But I'll tell you, it's not great. And I hope Semi can kind of bounce back in the next one. Look at the film, understand what he did. Mostly, I think he was forcing things. And his jumper just looked off. I've seen him warm up. I know he can hit those shots, but he hit one. He missed all of his threes. I don't know. Semi needs to bounce back for sure. But if the Celtics are going to do something like keep two of these guys, like Taco and Javonte Green, which I wouldn't have expected coming into this camp, and I still do not fully expect either, because I'm not going to overreact to what they did to end of Charlotte bench. But since we're here, since they performed well, and the question kind of has to be asked, I don't know. I don't know what they do about that. I still will say right now, I expect Semi to be around. They need a guy like him. Like I said, 6'7", big, strong guy to go out there and throw out there defensively. But Semi needs to figure some things out. Going to take a break. When we come back, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward, both had some impressive showings out there. Talk about that just a couple of minutes. Remember, Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Locked On at checkout.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Let me tell you a little something about Jason Tatum in this game. Ooh boy, he was smooth. He was smooth. He came out in that his first shot was hilarious because his first shot was a mid-range fadeaway jumper. And literally we all looked at each other in the press area and we're like, oh, shoot more threes, more layups. Really, really, Tatum. Okay. But after that, he actually executed what he had said he was going to execute. And he ended up scoring 20 points to lead the team in 23 minutes, shot 8 of 14, shot 3 of 8 from 3, 1 of 3 from the line, which is an anomaly, but 57% from overall, 3 of 8, 37.5% from 3, just about 38. You know, he hits one more, it's 50%. But that is exactly the type of game that you want to see from Jason Tatum. He took 2 shots outside of the paint, but inside 3. 2 two-pointers outside the paint. 4 of his makes were inside the paint, right around 3 at the rim, 1 right about the restricted area. Hit 2 threes from the corner, hit 1 from the left above the break. And all of his other misses were right around the top of the key, you know, left to right above the break. So shout out to Jason Tatum for really taking the types of shots that he said he was going to take. He was aggressive. He got to the rim. Afterwards, Brad Stevens said that he liked the threes that he was taking and that the threes are going to open up his drives. And those drives are going to get him to the line. And that's how we're going to get him to score these points. Again, 20 points in 23 minutes. That's obviously not, I don't know, maybe it is going to be a regular thing. But a very efficient game. And smooth the way he was playing. I want to say that there's something about Jason Tatum already. Just, I don't know what it is. I'm not going to make any declarations yet. It's been a week. I haven't seen him in all the practices. I've seen him after practice. I've seen him shooting contests. Kind of just see him walking around. There's something about him, though. There's something there. A swagger. I don't know if that's it. Some kind of confidence. He just carries himself, I feel like, just a little differently. And it's hard to really express, but I see it. I see something. I also see a little bit more up around the shoulders as far as his build. Like, no one's going to pretend that he's jacked or anything like that, but you can't slide him under a door anymore. That's for damn sure. There's a little bit more broadness to his shoulders. Just a little tiny bit more definition. I mean, he's growing up. And that's going to happen. As you get older, you put on a little bit more muscle. Clearly, he's been working at it. Clearly, he's been working at it. And if that thing, if I'm seeing it right, if I really am seeing this, and maybe, you know, sometimes you think you see something and because you think you see something, you're going to look for something like that. And maybe I'm trying to see that. I don't know. But I feel like I'm seeing some level of increased kind of confidence, a more kind of self-assuredness that he kind of, he knows what he can be. His rookie year, he was deferring a lot. Last year, he had the Kobe thing, the Kyrie thing. That was a mess, and he, whether he didn't react well or he didn't know how to react, whatever it was, now I kind of feel like he thinks he knows that he's a big part of this team. And I think that's important. So we'll see. I'll just keep an eye on it. I want to watch for it. The other thing that we saw in this game that is super, super important is that Gordon Hayward was attacking. Now, he shot 4 of 10, which is not particularly great. But again, you go from 40%, you hit one more shot, you're at 50%. If he hits one more of his threes, instead of going 1 for 4 and 25%, he's 2 for 4 and 50% and 5 of 10, 50% from the field. And the tone of the sentence I just had takes on a completely different sound. So let's, you know, I want to be clear about all of that. Hayward attacked. He attacked confidently. He wasn't afraid of the contact. He invited the contact. He hit the deck. He was okay. He did do something to his left elbow, which I saw him. I was watching him kind of work through it on the left, on the sidelines there at the bench. He says it happened in the first half. Doesn't know exactly what it was. It doesn't appear to be serious, but he was kind of like poking around in there. He said like he couldn't fully straighten his elbow. He couldn't really bend it. There's something in there, but I don't know. I don't know how serious it is. They didn't seem to think it was going to be very serious, but the team is off on Monday. They'll probably do some film and shoot around, but no formal practice on Monday. So we'll get an update on Tuesday about Gordon, but Seeing him out there, I mean, he definitely looked much more confident. Like, there wasn't a thing that screamed out, like, oh, no, you know, he doesn't have it. Like, he didn't take over at any stretch, but there wasn't a moment where he looked like he did last year, where he looked bad for stretches. He just missed a couple of shots. But again, some of the aggressive drives in traffic, he just missed a couple of those bunnies. I say bunnies. They were contested. Like, there was some serious contesting going on. He took some difficult shots. But to see him attacking like that was very, very good. I also thought Jaylen Brown, for that matter, was pretty good. He only played like 15 and a half minutes. But the one finish stood out to me, man. He drove into the lane, he planted, he kind of like almost Euro stepped, but he planted left when he was about to jump and kind of pushed himself off to the right to finish at the rim. It was his first real attack. And I mean, Tom and I looked at each other like, whoa, that was nice. You got to watch that again. It was crafty. And you don't say that about Jaylen Brown much, but that was a crafty finish. So positives for Jaylen Brown in short time, positives for Gordon Hayward, a lot of positives for Jason Tatum. Gonna take a break. Coming back, we'll talk about the other guys, the rookies who made an impact, some of the bad things, when we return on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. I want to finish on a high note, so I'll talk about the defense now. The defense, how should I put this? Sucked. Really sucked. It was terrible. It was horrible. Generally, all around, bad defense. Brad Stevens, after the game, said, check off all the defensive boxes. Tick them all off. half court, transition, rebounding, pick and roll, all of it needs work. And we knew it coming in and we know it going out. And basically, that's where they are. Enes Kanter, who had a nice offensive game. I mean, look, 11 points, 4 rebounds, an assist, a couple of turnovers, but plus one, a block. You sit there and you say, wow, 4 of 4 from the field, 3 of 5 from the line. Kind of take that performance. Statistically, if Enes Kanter delivers that kind of performance, we'll kind of take it. But he had, you know, his reputation was accurate, is accurate. He struggled a lot defensively. And they had stretches where they weren't protecting the rim at all, you know, and Kanter and also Robert Williams in stretches made the same mistakes. You're just overreacting to shooters and trying to go out and whether block or challenge or something like that. And you leave a guy behind you. And they had a bunch of guys, a bunch of times where Kanter or Williams would go and try to block, and his guy would stay behind and clean up a rebound or something like that. Not something that you can do. Grant had some stretches where he was okay. Grant, I'll talk about him in a second. Robert Williams had some stretches where he was okay. He also had some stretches where he was playing way, way, way too fast. And Brad Stevens said it, that Williams was anxious. You know, he said after 10 minutes, he was huffing and puffing. Like he really was anxious in this game. He was playing way too fast. And it did nothing to change my mind about the necessity to get him to the G League and get him repetition so he can play with more proper pace, with more confidence, and to make the plays. He wasn't playing like he played in summer league. He was playing way, way too fast. And again, once one preseason game, I'm not going to go kill him for it. He could easily bounce back in the second game and make things, make himself look a lot better. But right now, still kind of like a lot of the same things. Bad habits, bad positioning, bad decisions, some highlight plays because he's a super freak athlete and he's going to get up there and block some shots, but he still has work to do. And we'll see if he can calm down and be better in the second game. So he was up and down. Kanter, true to his rep, good offensively, really, really struggled defensively. Poirier in 5 minutes was okay. I'm going to have to rewatch this game on Monday. You know, every day after the game, you rewatch the game, you kind of see, because at the arena, you don't get to see everything. You don't get the benefit of replays all the time. And, you know, you're making notes and you're looking down sometimes because you have to write something real quick, or you're looking at the bench, you're looking at reactions. You don't get to see everything the first time around. So I'll have to watch Poirier a little more closely, but he didn't have much time. I don't think he was particularly good or bad or whatever. Daniel Theis did not play. He had an adductor, an abductor kind of strain that Steven said that he would have probably been able to play if it was a regular season game. They weren't going to push it. Romeo Langford didn't play in this game, but rookies that did, Carson Edwards, Grant Williams. Carson Edwards is a bucket. That dude came in hot. He came in shooting. He hit 3 of 6 from three. It was awesome. He obviously made some mistakes. He had a steal and a breakaway layup, and he just biffed the layup. I don't know if he was thinking he was going to dunk or what, but he was. And he threw up an air ball because he just made a play, and he came down and he fired up an air ball. That was fun. So, but Carson, that dude, catch and shoot, and he is just automatic. He is not afraid of the moment, not afraid of the spotlight, not afraid of being in the garden or his first taste of NBA basketball in front of a big crowd with a lot of energy. Did not care. Came in, first touch, boom, shoot it, drain it. People loved it. Grant was just, this is exactly what you're going to get from Grant Williams. He was a plus 14 in this game. It's just a plus minus monster. He didn't shoot as well as we'd like to see him shoot. He needs to hit those threes, and he didn't hit. He was 0 for 3. Those are the ones that he should take, though. The ones that he took were good. If he takes those and starts to make those, he'll be fine. But the 9 rebounds, 2 assists, a couple of turnovers, sure, but a steal, a block. He did a lot of positive things on the floor, and it really did, at least initially, that kind of confirmed the feeling that I had about Grant Williams. This is the kind of Grant Williams that we're going to see. Hopefully he shoots better. Hopefully he doesn't make some of those mistakes. Hopefully he doesn't foul quite as much as he did. He had 5 personal fouls, but he is going to go out there and make a positive impact. The 3 offensive rebounds, including a clutch offensive rebound to close the game, and I want to personally thank him for that, because that rebound and that 1 of 2 made free throws, that was the difference. It made a 4-point game. Charlotte hit a prayer at the buzzer that if he didn't make that second free throw, then we would have been there for overtime. And preseason overtime is the worst. Like, that's just torture. So thank you, Grant Williams, from all of us in the media, for ending that game before we had to sit through an overtime. We did have to sit through a couple of coaches' challenges, which were infuriating. Borrego challenged a charge, and then I feel like Brad kind of was like, well, if you're going to challenge a charge, I'm going to challenge a charge. Like, on the next play, he issued a challenge. I don't know how I feel about the coaches' challenges. That was infuriating to sit there and watch that, but got to get used to it because that's just part of the game right now. But that was interesting. That was fun. Let's see. What else happened in this game? Marcus Smart had an awesome chase down block doing Marcus Smart things. We had some Brad Wanamaker minutes. He did okay. He had a nice finish and one. What else happened? That's about it. Tremont Waters played. Didn't do much. Max Strus played. The best part about when Max Strus played was the kid behind us in the media section said, who's number 28? That was fun. Other than that, that's the preseason. That's number one. Celtics win it 107-106. If you guys, I know, you know, we usually do like junk drawer stuff like that. I'm not Jam Packard. I don't have junk for you, but you can send me junk. Give us a call. We have the voicemail line set up. 617-221-6010. Call in during the game. Something happens in the game, call up, yell at us, and then I'll play it. I would love to do a show where post game I make my points, the good points, the bad points in the first segment, the second segment, third segment. It's all you guys. Just scream your junk into the phone and we'll just do voicemail, junk mail, whatever we want to call it. We'll figure it out. But like, I'm happy to react to you guys doing that. So 617-221-6010. Call whenever you want. Leave a comment or a question whenever you want. We'll sprinkle them in throughout the podcasts all week long. Whenever they happen, we'll do it. So go ahead and give us a call there. Hit me up on Twitter, RedsArmy_John. You know where to find me there. Hit me up on the Locked On Celtics Twitter. It's at LO Celtics, or Locked On Celtics on Instagram. We're all over the place. So find us, message us, send us a comment, send us a question, whatever it is. Go ahead, do it. What else can I tell you? Subscribe if you're a new listener. Subscribe to the show. You know, we're going to have other people on the show. We'll have other co-hosts. We'll have other guests throughout the week. And then whenever you want to send us a message, do that. You can also give us a 5-star rating. You can give us a good written review. That would be dope because we don't ask you to pay for this. We are daily. This is free. The only payment that we ask is that 5-star rating and a good written review, because that helps us rise up the rankings, and that's how advertisers catch on to us, because more people are listening, and that means we can charge more for the ads, and that's how you pay me to do this show for you 5 times a week, okay? Do that, and also share the podcast. Tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.